Welcome to the Kick-Ass Couples Podcast. This is the place where we help committed couples who want to level up their marriage experience newfound clarity, hope, and confidence. We're Matthew and Kim, co-hosts and husband and wife.
In 26 years together, we've seen a lot and never thought it could be as good as it is right now. We're here to help you successfully navigate the messy, dirty, and wonderful world of marriage.
We believe all couples deserve and are capable of experiencing an extraordinary and fulfilling marriage. And each week, we're bringing you life lessons from real-life successful couples to help you grow and strengthen your relationship.
We'll get started right after this message.
If you want to learn how to experience the best, most fulfilling year of your marriage, we invite you to order Matthew's new book, Kick-Ass Husband, Winning at Life, Marriage, and Sex. You can get it at Amazon.com or visit Matthew's website, www.matthewpkaufman.com. Again, that's Amazon.com or www.matthewpkaufman.com. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the Kick-Ass Couples Podcast. In today's episode, we are interviewing the shining duo Marie Claire and Nick Cates, a dynamic, passion-driven couple who worked their way to becoming two incredibly successful entrepreneurs and one kick-ass couple. As a teenager, Marie Claire immigrated to the U.S. from Haiti. She's the founder and CEO of a multi-million dollar beauty business called Acne Expert Skincare, located in Beverly Hills. She has become a sought-after beauty and lifestyle expert on social media. Her proudest accomplishment was being able to provide her son with the support he needed for stability and life success. Marie has tackled fear and shame firsthand, learning to embrace challenges as stepping stones on the path to an amazing life with her true love, Nick Cates. Nick had a dream of becoming an NBA or NFL star, but his teachers identified and nurtured his unique penchant for writing, where his love for storytelling grew and landed him at BET and PBS, where his TV career started. He has had many successful production roles, from the E-series Celebrity Homes to developing specials for A&E, Style, Vibe TV, and E! Entertainment. Nick launched the real estate company Showpads and has had a production company called Minefield Productions. Nick continues to thrive as a realtor, real estate investor, developer, and devoted husband. We are so excited today to have a fantastic power couple from the West Coast. We got an East Coast, West Coast connection going on the Kick-Ass Couples Podcast today. That's right, baby.
Yeah.
We got the young and lovely Marie Claire Cates and her dashing, I would say prince, right? He looks like a prince.
Love it.
Nick Cates on the line with us. Hey, welcome to the Kick-Ass Couples Podcast.
Hey.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, our pleasure.
This is great. A treat.
Glad you're here. You know, we get to interview some great people, and I know that we've had a brief introduction before today, but we always like to start off our podcast by asking, what makes you a kick-ass couple?
Going in hard from the beginning.
Hey, go big or go home, baby.
Wow. Do you have off the top of your head, can you think of one?
I think because we have a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're weedy. We have a lot of fun. I think that makes us a kick-ass couple.
Yeah.
Our friends always say that. You guys are always having a lot of fun. So.
Yeah. You know, and maybe that has to do more with kind of energy, right? So
yes.
I think one of the things that may be, that may give us whatever it is it gives us, is that we try and embody kind of an attitude, a spirit of lightness, of funness, of just easy love, that there's nothing serious going on here. We're just two people trying to get through life in the most enjoyable way possible.
Yeah.
I love that. That's great. Well, fun and humor is one of our pillars. It's our 14th pillar. Funny. When we started Kick-Ass Couples Podcast, we had 13, and we interview people and they go, where's the fun?
How come you don't have fun? You got to play together. And we said, oh man, we missed it. So we added our 14th pillar. And I love to hear that. You got to keep it light. There's enough seriousness in our life today. And if we're not seeing the good and having fun, it makes it hard for sure.
You know, I don't know you well, but I'm looking forward to diving in and learning more. But right away, immediately, just got great, good vibes. So I know what people are saying when they say you guys are fun, that you, you know, like to have a good time. So I feel it.
Thank you. Yeah.
Well, we we talk a lot about in our podcast about our history, and we really believe that we're a product of the people who raised us. I think that we bring a lot of what's modeled to us into our relationships. And so, Marie Claire, I'm just curious, what did love look like in your home when you were growing up? How was it expressed in your family?
That's a great question. So I grew up in Haiti, and my parents were quite conservative. So my I met my dad when I was 6 years old, because when I was born, he had a stroke and had to go away to get physical therapy. So I physically met him at 6 years old. And my mother is she's a tough lady. She's the disciplinarian. And when I met my dad at six, he was just extremely loving and affectionate. But my parents never showed affection toward each other, because in my culture, if you are affectionate or you kiss, it feels like you're teaching your children to be a little bit loose. So I didn't grow up watching my parents. They never held hands. They never kissed. They just never held hands. None of that. But oddly enough, my father was the one who gave me a lot of affection. So I can say love to me looks like the love that my father gave me, which is extremely kind and tender and just easy, easy, easy. So that's how I would explain how I saw it when I was growing up.
How about you, Nick? How did love look like in your family? How is it expressed to you?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, because I grew up in a very much kind of traditional, intact husband and wife, you know, two kids kind of a family in LA. But the thing that actually, I think, enhanced the love that I grew up around was that I also had my paternal grandmother and great grandmother very closest. They actually at some points lived in the house and also lived on the same street and also in the same neighborhood. And I say that to say that whereas my mother and father were great, you know, attentive parents, having that additional layer of unconditional kind of grandmother, great-grandmother love really kind of gave me a sense of safety and nurture, I think, that was very important, because my dad was very much like Marie's mom was more the disciplinarian, and my mother was very much kind of the more softer touch, the more like willing to like whatever, which gave a great balance, I thought. And then on top of that, you had the maternal grandparents that were always very willing to just sacrifice anything for your happiness. So that was how it looked for me.
And how about your parents? What did they model for you in their behavior?
In my parents' behavior, when it comes to love, my father's version of love was discipline and preparation for real life. So he would be at times critical or at times very much instructive, and was really one to kind of be a man's man kind of a thing. So he brought that energy to the whole thing. And my mother was much more nurturing. But in terms of their interaction together, like Marie, I didn't see a lot of like PDA or whatever, but I always got the sense that they were kind of in it together, and they had divided up the roles of the household and just kind of got through the day. There was just not a lot of hoopla around, like love and affection like that. It was just like, let's just keep everything moving forward. Let's take care. You take care of this. I'll take care of that. The kids are okay. You know, and they had their own social life, their own friends and extended family. So it was just kind of, everything was just kind of like, you know, very steady.
Sure. Sounds
Can
like
I
you both.
Add yeah. one thing
of
though.
Of course. Yeah.
But when we met, you know, I've known your dad, Nick's dad passed away in December, but, I had known him for 8 years before that. Your parents were affectionate. Like, you remember they would like kiss in front of us and like, we're going to our bedroom. And
yeah, I'm thinking more about like when I was a kid.
When you were a kid. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
It was coming up.
Yeah.
They were, you know, I don't recall that there was like a lots of outward shows of affection. Mm-hmm. It was just togetherness. Mm. I guess their way of showing affection was just that they were together.
Right.
There wasn't like a lot of tension. It was very, everything was just very kind of, you know,
just flowed pretty easily. Yeah.
It was just very smooth.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you each came from very different backgrounds. So you mm-hmm. brought different histories to your relationship. So as we keep asking questions, it'll be curious to see how that plays out.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I want to ask kind of that synthesis because I've gotten the pleasure of speaking with y'all twice, once before today and briefly in today. And I can feel, I mean, it's easy to look, and I know Kim and any of our viewers that are watching this interview, you can see the closeness, you can see the love, you can see. So how you both came from, you were loved and taken care of and things were expressed differently, but it seems like y'all have a very affectionate relationship. There's closeness and there's touch and there's that. How did you get there? How did you go from two backgrounds where that maybe wasn't as much of it? And how did you negotiate and work on what your relationship was going to look like in that area of love and affection?
Well, I would definitely have to credit my wife for being the, you know, the merchant of affection in our relationship, because that's her love language, right? Her love language is very much about physical touch.
Quality
time and those things. And I tend to be modeled more of the steady and stability part of the relationship. I'm acts of service, right? So I tend to be more like doing things to show that I love you or whatever. But, you know, physical touch and words of affirmation, all that aren't as natural to me, you know, foundationally, but through our being together, I've learned how to express those things more and be more top of mind. And that's really comes from the energy that she brought to the relationship.
Sure. Well, I appreciate that. It's nice to, it's fun to understand how you come from two very different or similar in your case, you know, ways and then what mix and what you come together and how you figure out. And it sounds like the two of you done a great job of understanding what your desires and your needs are and leaning into that and learning from each other. So I think that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
And it kind of leads naturally. We have with the 14 pillars we've talked about, and we have the three C's, and the three C's are kind of the most important ones, or what we call the foundation. And that first C is commitment. So Nick, I'd love to hear from you first, maybe. How do you see commitment expressed in your relationship with Marie Claire?
Yeah, you know, I think the thing that's interesting about us is that we got married later in life, right? So we had relationships beforehand, and we were both married. I was married, Maria was married, and those experiences, I think, brought us to the point when we got together, because we had been through things that were really not, you know, they were not positive experiences. And so when we got together, I don't think there was any expectation of one another about what we will become when we first, you know, kind of how we came together is kind of a long 20-year, you know, story. But when we got together just before we got married, I don't think we came into it with expectations. But then once those expectations built, we said, hey, we'd like to be together. We like to, for example, when we first started dating, Marie's perspective was, I don't want to be married. I'm happy to have a life partner, right? And so because she was very happy with the life she was living without having all the pressure and all the whatever being in a relationship and having all the some of the downsides that go with that. Coming out of my marriage, I kind of always assumed that I would get married again. So I said to her, well, I'm not really interested in the life partner thing. I'm dating in order to find a partner. And so I had in my mind that being in a relationship is about staking your claim on the person that you want to do this life with. And that requires, you know, to kind of go all in, not be like halfway in. And I don't think, honestly, Marie was even halfway in emotionally. I think she just was like, I'm happy and I don't have expectations about whatever needs to happen. I know that I'm good where I am right now. So if you can add to my life, great. You know, we can call it what we want, but you know, I'm really going to be okay either way. But then once I kind of put that stake in the ground, said I'm willing to commit, even without asking for her hand in marriage, like this is what I'm after. What did that bring out in you?
Yeah, I remember us driving from, we had gone to a country music festival. Mm-hmm. And we were just driving back. It was a long drive. And we were talking about, you know, being married. And I said, you know, I really would be just fine. I want a life partner. I don't want to be married. And he surprised me and he said, you know, I'm not dating just to date. He said, I want to be responsible for you, for someone. And if that's you, that's you. And I was like, those words I never forgot. He said, I want to feel responsible and support someone. And I never forgot that. So I looked at him in a different light. And then the more we dated, and I got to know Nick, he's outstanding. I mean, I won the prize pretty much. So that was easy. That was easy to let that idea go of, to let it go of the life partner. And, you know, because he's definitely quality husband material.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I appreciate
and just
that you're
to kind of maybe get more to the point about commitment and what that looks like, because I know that you want to kind of synthesize that. I think that commitment to me really has to do with more so because I'm a guy. At the end of the day, I'm a guy. I'm moved by the things that guys are moved by, your eyes, your whatever, like all those things. Those things are you have to recognize that, and then you have to figure out what you want to do. So commitment has to do with saying really forsaking all others, right? That's the first step of commitment, you know. But then if you forsake all others and you want to be happy, and my commitment goes to another level, which means that you have to be committed to understanding what moves and motivates your partner, because you can take the first step of saying forsaking all others, but there's so many other layers below that that have to also be committed to in order to have a relationship that is going to be viable. So there's like the affection part, right? Okay, so Nick, you got to get comfortable with being more affectionate. Being responsible for somebody means like when she's having a day, you know, and it's her turn to get all the attention and whatever, you got to be committed to that. When you have to, like, whatever all those different things are, that's what commitment means to me, that you're beautiful in for all those layers.
Yeah, you walked it through great. You walked it through great, and I'm not going to respond because I didn't know if Marie Claire wanted to add anything, and I don't want to steal any of that. That loving
you know,
thunder.
I agree with everything you said, and commitment to me, and I'll add another layer, which you just mentioned, is I put Nick's happiness matters a lot to me. And so commitment to me is respect and happiness. And I know respect is really big on his list. So when we met, we talked about what is important to you, your values. And he said, I want to be respected. And he didn't have to say it twice. I respect my husband. We've never had a fight where I call him out of his name, because I know it's important to him and I make it important to me. So his happiness and just, you know, respecting you is really big. So that's all I think about is
beautiful.
Are those things
two great examples?
I appreciate all these conversations that you had prior to getting married, because I believe in, not enough couples do that, and they just jump right in and then they start asking questions afterward. And sometimes they find out things that they don't really want to know or hear. So I think these conversations before we get married are so important. All these deep dives into, you know, how you feel, what moves you, what motivates you, all of those things are really important.
Great answers. Thank you both. Yeah.
So the second of our three C's is communication. And that's a big one, how we communicate with each other, when we make time to communicate with each other. And I am curious, I'm going to start with you, Marie Claire. Tell me a little bit about what communication looks like in your relationship and how you communicate with each other.
Yes, we communicate a lot. And then there's an understanding. So when I talk, Nick listens. He's an amazing listener. Because of him, I'm actually a better communicator. So it's touch, it's affection, it's expressing what I like when he does them. And also when something is not going right, we talk about it. So, and it feels easy. It feels like I can come and talk to Nick about anything, and it's respectful. It is, it's intentional as well. So I'm not going to be in a space of anger and anything like that. Well, we've never had really a lot of anger, and talk to him. So it feels open, you know, it feels open. I feel very safe and supported. I can talk to him about anything. Like Nick is my best friend.
Having that safety and security surrounding communication is huge. Being able to be vulnerable with your partner is key.
Yes. And we have very long talks. Like, we can talk about anything and we'll go to bed and it will be 2 o'clock in the morning. We're still talking. So that's one of the things we like to do a lot.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. If there's anything I would add, it's just that, we've had a few other turns at bat, right? So, you know what it feels like to not be heard. You know what it feels like to be in, really, that issue of not being heard is really, I think, or wanting to be heard is the key to communication, right? You listen with the intent of understanding, not with the intent of speaking your next words, right? A lot of times people are listening, and what they're really listening to is all the things that they want to say without first acknowledging what the other person wants to say, you know? And so I think we've gotten better at that over time, you know, and we're still working on it. But I know when I speak, you know, I feel much better about Marie's intention on hearing me. And I want her to feel like when she speaks that, you know, and it doesn't have to be in a conflict way, but just saying, hey, here's what happened to me today, blah, blah, blah. Because I could have the intention of saying, you know, oh, well, before you finish on what happened with you today, here's what happened with me today. Or, you know, you just have to kind of create the spaces, right? Mm-hmm. If she's speaking, I create a space where she feels like what she said landed. I want to feel the same way. When I speak, she's creating a space where what I say lands, and then we both feel fulfilled in that communication. You know? Yeah.
True active listening is a lifelong process, I believe.
Yeah. It is.
When it comes to creating a kick-ass marriage, do you ever wonder what you could be doing better? Have you ever thought how helpful it would be to be a part of a like-minded community of other imperfect couples who want to level up in their number one relationship? Come visit Kick-Ass Couples Nation, where you can talk with people just like you who are looking for ways to invest in and increase their joy, commitment, and fulfillment in their most important human relationship. You'll have access to a team of licensed marriage therapists, coaches, articles, podcasts, live webinars, and more. Just visit MatthewPHoffman.com so you can learn more about a community that's ready to help you level up. That's MatthewPHoffman.com so you can become of the growing Kick-Ass Couples Nation right now.
It's funny, we have a webinar coming up this week on KCN, and we're talking about our communication pillar, but really we're talking about listening skills. And I think a lot of people think communication is what comes out of the hole with the teeth, as opposed to, you know, that listening. And I think you nailed it, Nick, you know, understanding. Everybody wants to feel, all of our greatest desire and really need is we want to feel understood, because if people understand us, then they're validating. Yes, we get you. I hear you. I'm listening. I feel you, as opposed to what you're saying. If I'm just thinking, I'm not paying attention to the context of you, but, oh, I get to speak now, right? And, you know, that's a throwaway for your partner, for your spouse. And the fact that you're aware of that and you're each working to meet that need and find understanding, because and it's critical, because understanding is a great segue into our third pillar, which is conflict resolution. And, you know, anybody who says, oh, we never fight about everything, it's always rainbows and sunshine, you know, I think they haven't either been married very long, or maybe, I don't know, they're not living with the person they call their spouse. I don't know. But so conflict resolution is something, you know, and understanding is part of that, huge. We'll get into that in a minute. But Nick, when you think about conflict resolution, what does that look like in your relationship with Marie Claire? When there is a disagreement, or you're coming from right field and she's coming from left, how do you guys work through those issues together?
Yeah, it kind of builds on, and I guess that's why it's third, is about communication style, right? And I think that what it looks like for me and Marie is that we've learned to communicate kind of first, because if we're honest, which is the reason why we're here, like Marie's communication style with me, she called me her best friend, right? So with her best friend and her family members, over time, they would basically talk all over each other. They would be like, you know, finishing each other's sentences and blah, blah, blah. I was like, I don't communicate like that. I need you to not get ahead of the story. Don't try and anticipate what I'm going to say. Like, I'm going to say it, and then you have the chance, and it's going to be more fulfilling for you. And I don't feel cut off, and I don't feel, you know, like upended or you're saying the wrong thing. It's like, no, we took a left turn, not a right turn. Right. So I'm saying that because that was just basic communication about, like, you know, I want to just have the fulfillment of telling my story. Yes. And then I'll let you tell your story. Right.
Sure.
And so when it comes to communication, conflict resolution, once we had a better grip of how to communicate so that we both felt good about it. And I think, Marie, you had an aha moment about that.
I did. Because he would say, do you notice you're trying to finish the story? Because that's what I did. Like, my mother did it. I do it with all my girlfriends. So, you know, you're sitting like, oh, and then you whatever. And then, no. So continue with the story. And I used to do that a lot. And then once he made me aware of it, I realized I was doing it with my customers, with my, I was like, oh my God, I'm not a great listener, because I'm just trying to just make you feel better by just anticipating what you're going to say, so that we're like, oh, see, I understand you, but that's not really great communication. So in the beginning, we would talk about that. So now when we have to talk about something, like, I'll give an example, because I think we have a lot of respect for each other. So if there's something, whenever something is happening, we nip it in the bud, like, immediately. So, for example, the other day we were on our way out to dinner, mm-hmm. and you were looking for your glasses, mm-hmm. and his glasses were, you know, I organize. I'm the organizer around the house. So I knew exactly where they were, because Nick will just take them off. They're all over the place. So he's just looking. So I went to where it's supposed to be, and I just took it out and I just showed it to him. I was like, these, but the way I showed it to him was like, these, like, you're always like, you know, you're not organized. And he said, will you just not give it to me like that? And I'm like, it's okay, honey, let's go to dinner. And he said, no, there's something I want to say. So I closed the door and I turned around and I looked at him and he said, this is important to me, that if I'm looking for something and you offer assistance and you find it, that it feels safe for me to ask for help. And I was like, oh, that is a big, I was like, babe, you're absolutely right. He said, because just think, if you keep doing that, I'm never going to ask you for help, because then it's, you're just going to make it seem like, see, I always find things, like, you're not organized enough. And I got it. I totally got it. And then I was like, oh, you're absolutely right. I'm so sorry. And then we went to dinner and had a great time. And it didn't turn into a, oh, you know, I didn't, because from the foundation of, I always want to listen to him. He wants to be heard. And I respect him. I respect his opinion. And his happiness is very important to me. Sure. So I think that helps.
And what he said to you made sense, right? You understood why it was making him feel the way he did. That's key right there. Yeah. Totally. That's what makes all the
difference. It's a practice, because we've had that conversation, you know, more than once. And I think that there are certain, I said, like, I'm a guy, right? And Marie is very much, and I'm using this as a like an archetype, not that everyone fulfills this role. But I tend to be more kind of a guy. And Marie is very much a girl, if we can just use that term just for convenience, right? So, you know, her position often, I feel energetically, is that I'm a woman, I know better, right? At the end of the day, like, I've got intuition, I get it. Before you put your feet hit the floor and you get out of bed and put your pants on, I've already done laps around the block. Like, in her mind, I get the sense that she feels like she knows best, right? And that's not a bad thing, because in many ways she does. And whether that's true or not, when it comes down to communicating and resolving conflict, you have to put that down. You have to be available for something that you don't know, some mm-hmm. aspect that you're not aware of. And in our day-to-day life, we constantly are helping one another out. She'll come to me actively or either passively and need help with whatever. Mm-hmm. And when I give her help, that's that. There's no, I don't need a round of applause. I don't need any kind of validation. And maybe that's why you're willing to, because I don't really require it. I'm enjoying the fact of getting the thing done.
That's true.
But also, when I receive help, I don't need that look like, like it's just got to be like, yeah, okay, that's why you're here, because it helps me when I need help, you know. Yeah. So that's kind of thing. It's got to be a win-win. And to go back to the conflict resolution, I think that's the perspective that we come to it with. Like, I can't win and you lose, and you can't win mm-hmm. and I lose in a conflict resolution.
Right.
It's got to be a win-win. We both need to walk away feeling like, okay, at least we have understanding for one another. We may not agree on whatever it is, but I get why you feel that way. Yeah. You get why I feel that way, and we'll figure out what the ultimate result will be.
You unpack so many great things there, Nick. I want to make sure we cover a couple. One of them is that just because I disagree or have a different opinion has nothing to do with whether I like you or love you or not. It just means it's your perception, how you arrive. Everybody arrives at different things. And I love the idea. We say all the time, before you're married, it's I and you, right? But when you're married, it's us. And if a decision wins for the us, it's the right decision.
That's right.
If it's win-lose, that is not right for us, because it's not about gaining and somebody being disadvantaged. And we all, both of us, you know, both partners in the relationship have to be willing to make that sacrifice. And it sounds like you all have arrived at a point where you are working to make sure, A, it's win-win, you're giving each other what you need. And then in that conflict, when conflict arises, or for whatever reason, there could be a million reasons, you're looking to understand. And and that understanding is what keeps you smiling and keeps you happy. So, MC, you gave a great example about the glasses, you know, and your willingness to say, "Hey, babe, I'm sorry. You're right." And when you nip things in the bud, they don't fester. They don't turn into something else. They're quick. They're done, and you move on, which is a great lesson.
Mm. Well, in addition to our three C's, we have 11 other pillars that we believe play a huge role in a successful relationship. So, Nick, I want to ask you first, of the 11 pillars, and I believe you have the list in front of you,
mm-hmm.
is there another one of those pillars, and we'll pick out one for now, that really resonates to you, that really speaks to you, one that's important to you?
Yeah. Well, full disclosure, Marie and I had a brief conversation about this before, and she said, "Don't steal the one that I want."
Right? I get my own.
Don't steal it.
No, me too.
And she told me that it was appreciation. And I was like, you know what?
It's mine too.
It's mine, appreciation too. But I'm going to say something different, I'm sure, than what you're going to say, right?
So you go.
So I'll try. I feel like I tend to be like blah, but I just go on and on. Uh-huh. But I'm going to try and convince it by saying this, that appreciation to me looks a lot like what we talked about with conflict resolution, right? Appreciation to me feels a lot like the conflict resolution part, where, as I said, we're learning our ways about how to be a better couple every day, and we're doing the work that it takes. But you know, in life, you know, you stumble, you say the wrong thing, you do the wrong thing, you feel like you have a solution or whatever. Like, for example, I may try and surprise her with something that, I'll give you a great example. And this is all about appreciation. I'm sorry, I tend to go on and on and on. Here's what it is. You see your relationship not for what the most recent thing that happened was, whether that was a good thing or a bad thing. You see your relationship in light of the whole arc of the relationship, of what you know about the person. And you've decided to be in this relationship because your assessment of that person is that you are a wonderful individual that brings value to my life. So on any individual episode, it doesn't necessarily, you know, add too much nor take too much away, because you've already decided, based on that person's, you know, being who they are being, that you value them. So the example I'll give is that I took Marie for her birthday on a trip. And, you know, the first surprise of the trip was great. The second surprise of the trip was great. The third surprise of the trip, which was a place where I had booked for us to stay, she did not like it at all. She's like, you know, like this place does not, I don't like this place, right?
But I said it nicely.
No. I'm giving your energy, right? And now we get there.
Yeah.
She's sitting there. We're looking around, blah, blah, blah. And it was clear that something was wrong, because she had been on such a high most of the trip. And then this part, she's like, not there. And so I said, is there something wrong or whatever? And she basically said, you know what? I don't like it here. I don't want to stay here. Right. But rather than making me feel like I had messed up, which I guess in a certain way I had, she's like, you know me and you know where what this is. Did you really think that I would be okay with this? And I was like, yeah, I did. But, you know, whatever. So the bottom line is, she, rather than making it an issue, she showed appreciation. She said, you know what? We've had such a great time that I'm going to take over from here, and I'm going to book the place that I feel good about, that you'll feel good about. And then we'll go there and we'll enjoy that. And to me, it wasn't so much about the money. It wasn't so much about, you know, whatever. It was about how she said, Nick, I see you. I know you love me. I know that you put a lot of effort into everything that we're doing here or whatever. I want to show you that I appreciate you by doing this thing. And that's the character that that's the character that makes her so precious to me, that she's able to see it all. You don't see like, okay, you did this, and this good, and you did that, and it wipes everything out, right? That's true appreciation. True appreciation is when you can see all the great, and then when something doesn't quite match up, it doesn't erase all that, because I've had that before. I've been in relationships where it's just like your last thing is the only thing that can be seen. And if that was good, then you're good. If that's bad, then you're bad. Mm-hmm. Appreciation means that I see you in the totality of who you are. And if I love you because of who you are, you have great latitude to like, okay, maybe miss the mark a little bit here or there. I still love you. I still appreciate you. You have not been diminished. And that's more precious to me than anything. And you are great at that.
That's so awesome.
Epic long 6 minute.
No, you did it beautifully. You brought it home. You brought it home. Ding, 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 ding. I mean, that's like, That's like the weight hit the top of the bell on that swing.
It's
that
nice to hear the example too. It's great for our listeners to be able to, you know, actually have something that they can hear as an example of what appreciation looks like and what it feels like. How about you, Marie? I know Marie Claire has the same exact pillar, which is appreciation, but I bet we're going to hear something a little different.
Yeah, to me, appreciation, it's actually my default. I feel like it's innate. So I have an appreciation for life in general. I most likely wake up on the right side of the bed because as soon as I get up, I thank God for another day. I learn to appreciate. I appreciate everything around me, everything. I don't take nothing for granted. Even the challenges. So appreciation in my relationship is really because I appreciate everything so much. And I feel so blessed, you know, to live this amazing life that it just overflows into Nick. So I appreciate him by just the things I do, the things I say to him. We compliment each other all the time. Like last night, you were going somewhere one of these nights. Like he wore a pants. So I was like, oh my God, where are you? You look so nice. Oh my God, where are you? So I do that to him and he does the same to me. So if I'm going out and I look nice, Nick will get off the sofa and start clapping. It's like Mrs. Kate. In 8 years, he still does it. So I do the things that he likes. So appreciation, like even down to my nail color. And I know there's a certain nail polish that he likes. When I see the smile, when I come, he's like, oh, I love this nail polish color. So I do the same thing for him. I appreciate him by the words that I say to him, how I talk to you, how we communicate, how I feed him, I show him a ton of appreciation. It's because I appreciate everything else around me, my friends, my family, my life. I feel so blessed. And it's just, you know, at this point, it's a natural default. Like it's hard that I have like a tough day or, you know, I'm feeling some type of way because the first thing I do in the morning is appreciation. This is what I show. I wake up in appreciation. So I feel like it's just the energy just radiates all around me.
I love that. And I mean, another word that goes along with that is gratitude, right? You're recognizing the good in your life and you're not just from Nick, but from everybody else. And you're appreciating it through everything you do. That's living gratitude. And that, you know, that flows so naturally, Marie Claire, over into Kim and I have a concept that we like to talk about called overflow thinking. And so I'd love to hear, and Nick, if you'd start maybe in your relationship with Marie Claire, with MC sitting next to you, that diva, how does the goodness of your relationship, which seems abundant, how does it overflow into other areas of your life? Because there's so much good there. How does it spill out and show up in other areas?
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that I'm most grateful for in our relationship is that, excuse me. I feel like I've had a frog in my throat the whole time. Yeah. But anyway, one of the things I'm most grateful for in our relationship is how Marie has impacted my life and made it better in the sense that, again, I tend to be a very, like, you do the work to get the thing kind of a person, right? That's how I've been. That the success that I've had in life has come from the work that I put into it. Marie is very much a spirit, you know, feeling led person. And so in having respect for her and seeing how that has affected her life, I've been inclined and really appreciated how I'm able to take on those things and really start a practice that I think has now amplified to your question about overflow thinking, amplified our power together. So as opposed to us being, you know, we were complementary of one another. Like what I have, has been helpful to her in terms of just like, just get it done. And what she's had has been greatly important to me in terms of like, it always doesn't take hard work. Sometimes it comes from just being, comes from being still, comes from being whatever, and raising your vibration, raising your energy, raising those things, and availing myself to teachings that are on that same level. Mm-hmm. I think it's created an energy between us, you know, where we're complement, we're both individuals in a way, but our energy is complementary. Mm-hmm. And now it impacts my business better. I think it impacts her business better. It impacts how we affect other people when sure. we have the opportunity to be, you know, connected to folks. And so I think it's really been, that's the biggest difference that I've noticed.
Mm-hmm. Right. And how about for you, Marie Claire? What would you say? Yes. How do you see the goodness of your relationship overflow into other parts of your life?
Yes. There's so much more ease. I always say that when I met Nick, I already had a pretty good life. And now my life is like, I feel so blessed. And I just can be. I can really totally be, because when you're happy, you don't even have to say you're happy. People see it. It radiates. The way I walk, the way I leave the house, the way I conduct myself when I'm outside, because there's so much goodness coming from our relationship that, you know, it's like I'm better equipped to run my business. I am a pretty busy woman. You know, I run 3 businesses, but you know, that support that you get, it's like you're equipped to just take on the world, to look at your marketing and talk to people and do all these things. So I just feel very supported. And then in turn, people around me just feel supported as well. You know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah.
That's great.
I think it's been, overflow is a real good.
It's pouring out of our pores. Yeah. Yeah.
Love it. Great example from both of you.
Well, I have a fun question to ask, and I'm going to ask you first, Marie Claire.
Yeah.
If you could go back to your unmarried self and give yourself one piece of advice, knowing what you know now, what would that advice be?
Marriage is the best thing in the world. When you marry your person. And that also I'll add to that too, and that you're going to be okay no matter what, that you're going to be okay and it's going to be okay. And that marriage is not so scary after all. And when you marry the right person, it is such a blessing. It is such a blessing.
That's beautiful. Yeah. How about you, Nick? If you could go back and put your hands on your shoulders of your unmarried self, what would you say?
Yeah, what Marie said pretty much says it all from a relationship standpoint. And what I would add, if anything else, goes back to the last thing I said, is that, you know what? There's nothing terribly serious going on here. That's a quote we get from
an author that we read our book.
We're like, you know, we take everything so seriously, and everything is about trying to, you know, make the next achievement, get the next thing, you know, whatever. And those things have their place, but it's really about being happy at every step of where you are.
Yes.
And you know that it's never going to be done. You're never going to get all the way there. You're not supposed to. You're supposed to be happy at every step along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have that, then whether you get wherever you're trying to go or not, you've already gotten the blessing that this life is for, mm-hmm. which is to enjoy it all along the way. So that's what I would tell
myself. Yeah, living happily.
That's what I'm still working on, quite honestly.
Good.
Moment by moment.
Enjoying the journey.
Yes. Yeah.
Works in progress,
absolutely.
For sure. Well, you guys have given us just some great items. Thank you so much for being present and being real and being with us. And we loved getting a little insight and learning more about you. If people want to learn more about you or follow you or get more involved in what you're doing, where can they go to look to see the other good things that you all are doing right now?
Well, I'm pretty active on social media, so they can find me at Marie Claire _90210.
Great.
Yes.
Great. Got that.
And I can be found at Nick Cates Deals. Nick Cates Deals. That's me.
Great. Well, we're going to encourage them to look you up and put those in the show notes. Thank you so much both for being with us.
Yes, and thank you. I've had a lot of fun today and I've learned a lot. It's been fun to sort of peel back the onion a little bit and learn more about both of you. So thank you for being open with our listeners and for sharing all your great pearls of wisdom in your very fun and fabulous relationship.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, this is a blessing. You guys are amazing and really, we can't thank you enough.
You're doing great work. Thank you.
Our pleasure. We'll look forward to connecting with you guys soon.
Take care.
Take care.
All right.
That's all we've got for this episode of the Kick-Ass Couples Podcast. If you like the content of this show, you'll love Matthew's newly released book, Kick-Ass Husband, Winning at Life, Marriage, and Sex. To receive a digital mini book of quotes and images from the book, all you have to do is rate this show and leave a review in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you tune in to listen. Then email us a screenshot of your review at podcast@kickasscouplespodcast.com and we'll get it over to you right away. Until next time, remember, happily ever after doesn't just happen, it's on purpose.